in this service today. Have your way in our lives today, Lord God. We need your Holy Spirit to move upon us today. Lord, we need to be reminded today of the great and exceeding precious promises we have in you, Lord Jesus. And that, Lord Jesus, you are our caregiver. Hallelujah. You are the one who takes care of us, your children. Not this world system, but you, Lord Jesus. And we praise you and we honor you today. Amen. And amen. Praise God. I thank you so much, worship team, for beautiful singing once again. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Luke? Luke chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading at verse 5. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. And would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on the subject of fear not. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. And we, your children, live in such a fearful time. Lord, this world is going mad with fear because they have no certainty of what lies before them. They have no assurance of what their futures hold. And Lord Jesus, sometimes that same thought process can creep into us, your children, and we would become fearful. Lord, today I'm asking for a mighty anointing of the Holy Spirit to preach your words and your thoughts. Give me the mind of Christ this morning, Lord, for I know I can do nothing in and of myself, but I know what great things can be accomplished with the power of your Holy Spirit. And I so feel his movement and operation already taking place. Lord, we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, but I asked for a mighty move of your Spirit today on our hearts and lives, to deliver us from fear. Lord, let us walk in the victory that you have already won. Let us not walk in defeat. Let us not walk as the world does with uncertainty. But Lord, I ask for you to do an indelible work in our hearts today that will forevermore cause us to know we have nothing to fear. In Jesus' mighty name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. And what a beautiful congregation you are this morning, by the way. Even Dennis looks good this morning. Spirit's moving in a mighty way already. No, I'm just kidding, Dennis. He's like a brother to me. I can say things like that to him. I wouldn't say things like that to Helen, though, but Dennis, I can. Bernie Madoff is a name that will forever be remembered in the annals of American financial history as the greatest bilking of money the world has ever known from innocent people. literally millions of people, had their life savings swindled away by this man who now sits in prison. But what a stigma he left upon his family, his wife, and his two sons. One of his sons, Mark Madoff, just recently hung himself on the upper floors of his lavish New York apartment that was worth millions of dollars, living in still in the opulence of the wealth that his father had illegally accumulated. And the note that Mark left prior to hanging himself, it was a sad, sad note. But he said, "I am so overwhelmed with fear that I will never overcome what my father has done." Now think of that. And that saddened me as I read that, but it made me think about all of us as human beings. And that really, that what happened to him is a microcosm of what happened to the whole human race and the state of mind that the entirety of the human race is in if they don't have Jesus in their heart. You see, our father is Adam. And in the garden, the sin of rebellion that he committed, and I say specifically he, yes, Eve did too, but if Adam had not partaken of that sin, humanity would not have fallen. God made Adam the federal head of the human race. But when Adam partook in rebellion and partook of sin, that meant every man, woman, boy, and girl there coming after him would be born with this stigma of being sin-benighted, of having our lives controlled by this sin nature. I was talking with somebody the other day, and I was counseling them over a sin issue they were having. It was nobody from this church. But they were saying, "Well, the devil this and the devil that, and you know, he's made me do this." And I said, "No, no, no, my friend." I said, "Your problem is you." I said, "It's your sin nature." I said, "You've got your faith in the wrong place." And I said, "Only faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ will activate the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome that sin nature." And with us being the fallen sons and daughters of Adam, we too have this stigma of sin. And with that stigma of sin, us coming into this world, if the human being does not find Jesus Christ, he is forevermore cursed to live a life of utter terror and fear. Now, it manifests itself in many different ways, this terror and fear, but the crux of the fear is simply this. Every man, woman, and boy coming into this world as a fallen son and daughter of Adam is keenly aware of the judgment of Almighty God that they're under. You see, we don't often think of it this way, but man is born, comes into this world at enmity with God. Let me put it a little better than that. Man comes into this world, everybody born, comes into this world an enemy of God. Now think of that for just a moment. Even a little innocent baby. And there's nothing more precious than a newborn baby. They come with this enmity between them and God, because of what their father has done. And that thought overwhelms the human soul and spirit and forces mankind to commit all kind of actions that are destructive, self-destructive in nature, trying to extricate himself from this fear of being under the judgment of God. That's a sad lot, isn't it? I revert back to Mark Madoff. I can't imagine. And the evidence suggests that this young man, the son of Bernie Madoff, had no knowledge and was not involved in the wrongdoing of his father. Now think of that. But yet he had to bear the stigma. He'd worked so closely with his father, who was brilliant in a diabolical way of masterminding this scheme of funneling multiplied billions of dollars away from the rightful owners into his own accounts. And finally, the grief and the fear overcame Mark Madoff. He had no hope. He saw no hope. So he ended his life by hanging himself in the opulent apartment on New York's vaunted Fifth Avenue. Think of that. But praise God. Maybe Mark Madoff didn't know it, but there is a way out. Praise God. Through what Jesus Christ did on the cross, mankind can get a new father. Hallelujah. Mankind can get a new father. That's the glory of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. He paid for our adoption with the shedding of his precious blood. And anybody who will come to him and ask, Lord, in essence, will you adopt me as your son and daughter? He says yes. And not only will he adopt you as his very own, he wipes out your past in totality and gives you a new future, a certain future that is in him, that is absolutely glorious, that is absolutely spellbinding when it's thought of how great it is that one moment we could be a son or daughter condemned and living fearful under one father, and the very next second have a brand new daddy, hallelujah, who has a glorious past, glory to God, who has a wonderful past, and who provides a sure and certain future for you and I. That is what Jesus Christ can do. He gives hope, glory to God. He takes away fear of the future. He takes away the fear of the judgment of Almighty God and adopts us as his very own, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. It's coming close to the Christmas time, and it's good we celebrate Jesus' birth. I set aside a time, a period for it. But I hope you know, according to Scripture, there's no way he was born in December. It couldn't have been. You had sheep on the hillside in Jerusalem, and you know more than almost definitely, I can tell you, he was born about the time we celebrate Easter, more than likely. His birth and death occurred both about the time we celebrate Easter, the Passover time. But when he was born, it's good we celebrate this time, or we have this time set aside to celebrate his birth. Everything was perfect. The Bible says in the fullness of time, Jesus came. He came after us because he saw we needed a new father. God in his love looked down on the human race and saw spiritually we were all in the same state as Mark Madoff was, condemned by our father's actions, having no hope to extricate ourselves from the stigma of what our father had done. And God, in his great love and grace and mercy, formulated the great plan of salvation, and that he said, I'll send my son so that I can give them a new father. I can give them me once again. I'll restore what their first father lost. And I'll make it, hallelujah, I'll make it like they never even lost it. Glory to God. I don't know how anybody could ever tire of hearing of the glory of what Jesus did for us on the cross. It could be preached inexhaustibly until throughout all of eternity it will be, and never the full glory of it will ever be realized. The grandeur of what he did for all of us will never be fully realized. That's how great it is. Oh, it blesses me to know that in the portals of glory still, we find in the book of Revelation, we're still praising him for the cross. John said he looked in the midst of the throne room of God, where all the elders threw their crown at the feet of a lamb as it had been slain. Hallelujah. That's the spirit of Christmas. That's the very spirit of Christmas. I know you're feeling that. I feel it this morning too. But he came not only to save us from sin, but to deliver us from this horrible fear that plagues the human race, the fear of being under the judgment of Almighty God. You know, sometimes like one of my football coaches used to say in Texas, a blind squirrel find an acorn every now and then. You know, just by the mere fact he stumbles around. I read an article some time back, and I was sitting in a doctor's office in Psychology Today, of all things. But what they said, I thought, well, they got it right on this point anyway. They said that they have determined that the root of all of mankind's fears, whatever they are, fear of the future, fear of what may happen, fear of what may not happen, they said they have discovered that it's all rooted in one thing, the fear of death. The fear of death. Think of that. They said they have determined, and I thought, now that's true. They're right. That fear of death, but they didn't define it quite as sharply as they should have. It's the fear of death, absolutely. But it's the fear of stepping off into eternity and facing God without the blood of Jesus. That's enough to scare anybody to death if you think about it. So they got that right. The fear of death is the root of all of mankind's fears. In our text this morning, we read about how God is always working to down to the minutest of details to work his plan. And he is about to break through time and eternity, Jesus Christ is, to come after us, to save us from our sins. And with that saving us from our sins, he saves us from the fear of death. Because not only does he wash our sins away, he gives us eternal life. Praise God forevermore. The washing away of sins would be enough, but he takes it one step further and promises us eternal life in him. Glory to God. And Zechariah, it falls his turn to minister in the temple that day as him being a priest. He and his wife Elizabeth were barren, having no children. And that was considered a curse in biblical times. For a woman not to be able to bear children, it was considered by the Jewish populace to be a curse in biblical times. And here he is, a priest in the temple, and he and his wife Elizabeth crying out for a child. And it seems like God has forgotten. Their prayers are going unanswered. But this particular day, as God is working his plan, God is going to give Zacharias and Elizabeth the greatest of all the prophets. Jesus called him that. He was the last, he would be the last of the Old Testament prophets, but he would be the greatest, that which would be the offspring of Zacharias and Elizabeth. And I can imagine before the Holy Spirit could take up residence in mankind's hearts in fullness, that Zacharias and Elizabeth are living under condemnation and fear. Fear that God has forgotten them. Fear that things are never going to work out the way they had hoped and they'd have a family. And he walks into the temple this day. And all of a sudden, he sees an angel standing on the right side of the altar of incense, which that altar of incense in and of itself was a type of prayer going up to God. And he tells him, Zacharias, you found favor in God's sight. For you're going to have a son, and his name's going to be John. And he's going to turn a lot of the people of Israel back to God. It was too wonderful for Zacharias to believe, but the first thing the angel tells him, and this is God's message, I believe, to you and I this morning, and I'm not going to be too long this morning because the Holy Spirit told me he wants to work mightily at this altar service, and I feel that right now so strongly. He said, fear not. Fear not. I want to ask you something, child of God. Even though we know the message of the cross, and we know our sins are washed away, and we know we have eternal life in Jesus Christ, we're still bound by this human mortal coil that is subject to turning its eyes, spiritually speaking, off of Christ and him crucified and onto our current situation. It's a tough world we're living in right now as we approach Christmas of 2011. It's a dark world, really, overall. There are wars and rumors of wars breaking out everywhere. The financial system of the United States is in the process of crumbling. As we said in this church this morning, the mightiest financial system in the world is crumbling before our very eyes. And there's no Republican or no Democrat, I believe, who's going to be able to stop it. This nation's under the judgment of Almighty God because it's forsaken God. It shook its fist in His face long enough and said, we don't want you in our schools. We don't want you in our courtrooms. We don't want you in our homes. We want you out of this nation. And with the departure of God's great blessing on the United States of America, fear is gripping hearts and lives like never before. And we who know Jesus Christ, if we're not careful, if we keep our eyes on the world system, which is of its father, the devil, if we keep our eyes on that system, we are going to become very fearful about our futures. We're going to become very worried. And let's be honest, we're subject to being affected by the things that go on in the world. That's why it is imperative, and I strive to teach this, and I strive to do it myself. We need to go to the cross every day. I pray you just don't view coming to church on Sundays, well, we're going to go hear Pastor Greg, and you know he's going to preach about the cross, and we'll shout amen on that Sunday, and know that he's telling us the truth, and that'll be it till next Sunday. No, Jesus said, if you're going to come after him, to take up your cross daily and follow him. And that's what taking up the cross daily meant. It didn't mean we have to do something hard ourselves. It means every day. It was referring to Christ's cross. We go to his cross. And we allow the Holy Spirit of God to remind us that our sins are washed away in his precious blood. We allow the Holy Spirit to remind us, we as believers in Jesus Christ do not function nor operate under the system of this world, nor, oh hallelujah, watch this, nor are we subject to it. I don't care if Wall Street goes bankrupt tomorrow, our Father God, who is our Father, will find a way to get us food, shelter, and clothing. Hallelujah. That's peace. Doesn't that make you feel good? That's peace. God has promised that. Don't worry about what Wall Street's doing. Don't worry about what's going on in the White House. All we need to know is that everything's all right in our Father's house. And our Father is Jesus Christ, God Almighty, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the first message the Holy Spirit, the message the Holy Spirit wants to put across this morning to us is fear not. Don't become entangled with the affairs of this world. Because we are not citizens of this world system. We are citizens of the system of the kingdom of God. And it functions totally different, thank the Lord, from this world system. You know, God's not going to make us all millionaires. Boy, Mike, don't you wish the word of faith teachers were right? In your flesh, now come on, be honest with me. Don't look at me like a bunch of doe-eyed calves. We'd all love it if we was all millionaires in our flesh, wouldn't we? But maybe becoming that millionaire would destroy us like it did Mark Madoff. Yeah, wouldn't know what to do. Well, I'd find a lot to do with it, Judy, I tell you. And you know what we're saying? Well, I'll share this with you. This person I shared with a little bit earlier, I was counseling with. And they're not from this church, and you'll never know them, so I feel free in sharing it. That's playing the lotto. That asked me about playing the lotto. Yeah. Yeah. And they was doing it. And I had to tell them, no, no, no. I thought, if God wanted you to have that money, he'd give it to you. And you know what their response was? Judy said, I wouldn't find a way to spend it. They were just so self-righteous. They said, well, Greg, if I'd win it. If it was something like $100 million, some outrageous amount. They said, I'd give you $1 million to build a new church with. You know what I did? I looked at them. I said, no, you wouldn't. I said, you would not do it at all. You'd forget you even knew my name. You'd be out there in Hollywood. It'd take you away from the Lord, and you'd backslide, and they're just looking at me bug-eyed, you know. I said, if God wanted you to have that, he'd give it to you. I said, learn to be content with what you got. I said, you got a nice home. You got a nice car. You got a decent job. You got food in your belly and you got clothes on your back. That's all God's promised. Now that he does promise. And that's biblical prosperity there, and I'll preach that anywhere. God is never going to be guilty of child neglect. Amen? We're his children, and he'll take care of us no matter what this world system is doing. So as we move to a close today, has fear gotten a grip on your life somewhere? And it could be any kind of fear. It could be fear about something that you're wanting to happen in the future. It could be fear or dread of something you fear may not happen in the future. The Holy Spirit wants you to know this Christmas season, today, the same words he spoke to Zacharias so many thousands of years ago. Fear not. I've got your future in my hand. In that one statement, the angel was sending Zacharias a message from Almighty God. He told him, he said, fear not, Zacharias. I've got good news for you. God's blessing is on you. And he's going to give you a son. And he didn't state it quite this way, but now that we know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, we know that this John the Baptist was the herald of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He prepared the way for him spiritually to make his grand entrance. And he was the greatest, Jesus said. Jesus said, among women, there is none born greater than John the Baptist. Think of that. Now that's quite a statement, but think of who's making that statement. John was the greatest prophet who ever lived. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm here to tell you, our futures are in the hands of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't worry about what this world system's doing. But if there's fear, if fear has gripped your heart, maybe you're so worried about something that it's consuming you. And this message is not to condemn you if you're in that state. No, it's to remind you that once you turn your focus, like the song says, turn your eyes on Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Hallelujah. I feel that this morning. You see, when you're spiritually attuned and focused on Jesus, you have a continual reminder from the Holy Spirit. I don't have to worry about what's going to happen or what's not going to happen, because God is going to give me everything that I need. He will answer my prayers. See, the angel told John, your prayers have been heard. Your prayers have been heard. They had been praying for years for a child. And I thought of some of you in this church who I know are praying for children as I was preparing this message. And they're coming. God's going to give the child. I feel that this morning. Receive that from the Holy Spirit. But when he gives it, that child will be used greatly in his service. Glory to God. It blesses me, Monique, to think of little Elijah. You know, as I close this message today on not fearing your future because God's got it under control, little Elijah, until he probably hits his early teens, is not going to realize what a blessing and how the hand of God moved to give him a godly mother and father like Mahari and Monique. His little body was full of drugs. Is that right, Monique? I don't want to exaggerate. His little body was full of drugs when he was born because his mother was a dope addict. But God in his grace and mercy, as Mahari and Monique were praying for a child, made it possible place Elijah in their hands. Hallelujah. That's a beautiful picture of what happens when we come to Jesus Christ. We get a new father. Once again, I can't get away from that. But with the gaining of that new father should come a security to know that that father has our future in hand, just like he had Zachariah's and Elizabeth's future in his hands. His future's in your hands. And no matter what this world does, let this bring you peace today. No matter what this world system does, your father does not operate under this world system. He's not limited in any fashion. Glory to God. I so feel a beautiful touch of the Holy Spirit on this service today. Fear not. Fear not. I ain't even preached it good, but the Holy Spirit's made his point. Fear not. Fear not. Your future is secure. God is going to see that everything that needs to happen is going to happen. He's going to make sure that those things that don't need to happen are not going to happen. But you will be taken care of by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, no matter what this world system does. God will fulfill his promises to you and I. In closing now, Jesus told the disciples one day to consider the lilies. He said, they neither toil nor strive, yet God clothes them and takes care of them. God feeds the animals of this world. And God is the sustainer of all life on this planet. But watch this. Jesus didn't go to the cross for whales. He didn't go to save the seals. Now, they're his creation. He's concerned about them. I'm not saying that. But they have no soul or spirit. He went to the cross for you and I, humanity. He came so that we could experience a promise on the same level and even greater so than that which was given to Zacharias. When the angel spoke to him, there's something better than an angel speaking this message to you today, and it ain't me. I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Greater than what happened to Zacharias, he's telling you, fear not. Fear not. Don't let that fear of what might or might not happen in the future overwhelm you, because I am your Father, and your future is secure in me. Fear not. Fear not. Give the Lord a hand of praise today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you please stand? Hallelujah. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. And what I'm about to do, I rarely do an altar call the way I'm going to do it this morning, but this is how I honestly believe the Lord's directing me to do it. And this is not to embarrass anyone, but I believe this morning the Holy Spirit wants to elicit an act of faith on the part of those who will respond to this altar call. And nobody's going to ask you any personal questions. I promise you that. We're just going to pray for you. If you're here this morning and fear has been gripping your life in some capacity, and we don't need to know, God knows, but it's been gripping your life to the point to where maybe you can't even function hardly some days. The Lord has engineered this service for you. And as an act of faith this morning, to believe him, I want you to step out and come to this altar now if that's you. If there's one of you, there's several of you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God has engineered this service to bless you today. Not to embarrass you, but it takes an act of faith sometimes. God wants to elicit an act of faith. And sometimes he wants us to step out in front of the whole world and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to believe you. If that's you, come now. This altar's open. Don't delay. Step out of your pew now and come. God bless you as you're coming. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus right now, let your Holy Spirit flow in an even greater way than he has been. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When you're stepping out, you're feeling the release already. I sense that. Are there others? Are there others? I'm not going to beleaguer this altar call very long. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. God wants to bless and touch you this morning. Are there others? Pastor, I need deliverance from fear today. It's been gripping my life. It's been gripping my life. And I need God to touch me. I need Him to remind me today that He's my Father and that He has my future in His hand. Are there others? Anybody else? Now I'm going to ask all of you, all the rest of you, Monique and Linda, if you'd stand right here directly in front of the pulpit. I'm going to ask others, and I'm not saying this to talk down to anybody. There's others of you who should be at this altar right now. I could almost come lay hands on you as the Holy Spirit's given me the discernment, but I'm going to ask everybody who will now, would you come and gather and present yourselves around this altar? Lord Jesus, we need mighty work done today, but if to us it's mighty, Lord. To you it's nothing. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to ask some of you ladies to gather around Monique and Linda here. And Monique and Linda, I want you to look at Pastor Greg for just a minute. The Lord engineered this service today for you all. And I know it took a great deal of courage to step out and do what you did. He's not going to disappoint you. Your future's in His hand. Your future's in His hand, and it's secure and it's safe in Him. It's secure and it's safe in Him. Let's pray for Him now. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Your word declares that perfect love casts out all fear. And in that mighty name of Jesus, let the peace of God that passes all understanding flow to the area that is on Monique's mind, Lord. And give her the peace of God that passes all understanding right now to know that, Lord, whatever is going to happen, whatever needs to happen, You're going to cause it to happen. Whatever doesn't need to happen won't happen. But, Lord, her future is secure in You. And her future is not contingent upon what this world may or may not do. Her future is secure and bright in You, Lord Jesus. And I thank You for giving her that peace right now in Jesus' mighty name. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we hold up Linda before You today. And Lord, again, we ask for the peace of God that passes all understanding to flow like a river to the area that she's concerned with. And Lord, just let Your peace permeate her soul and spirit with the knowledge that Jesus Christ is in control and that her future is secure because her Father knows exactly what she needs and when she needs it, and He will provide it. Let her not look to the world system to give it, but let her look unto her Father and let her know that she is a citizen of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name we pray. And we give You glory for deliverance from fear today in Jesus' name. And I'm going to ask everybody else who's here, and I know there are others of you, that you should have stepped out and came. Hallelujah. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is so powerful here right now. I want you to believe Him right now. You might say, well, how could God bless me, Pastor, if I didn't step out? I disobeyed Him. He's a God of grace. I'm going to tell you, there was a special blessing for these two ladies, and I believe they felt it the second they stepped out of their pew. Glory to God. But there's others of you, and you're God's going to help you. God's going to help you even still because He's a God of great grace. But they had that joy of feeling that instant touch of God when they stepped out. But right now, I'm going to pray for others of you that should have been here, and I want you to take that fear, whatever it is, and I want you to take it to the cross of Christ, and I want you to confess to Him. The Holy Spirit wants you to pray this way today. I want you to take it to the cross of Christ and confess to Jesus Christ that your future is secure in Him, and cast your care upon Him. Cast that worry upon Him right now, because He is your Father and He careth for you. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, for those who are fighting this issue of fear this morning, worry and doubt over what's going to take place, deliver everyone who needs that deliverance, Lord, right now. Let the peace of God flow unto them. in the name of Jesus. And Lord, heal their wounded hearts today. Heal their doubtful and fearful hearts today. And Holy Spirit, as you take that fear out, I know you will replace it with the knowledge of Jesus Christ is in control of their life. And their future is secure. Their financial future is secure. Their family future is secure. If they'll just keep trusting you, Lord Jesus. It may not happen immediately, but if they keep trusting you. It didn't happen immediately for Elizabeth and Zacharias. But Lord, they kept on believing. And there came that day that the answer to their prayer was manifest. Let that fear dissipate under the blessed assurance that only Jesus Christ can give today about the future of His children. In Jesus' holy name we ask and pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God. Let's give Him a hand of praise today. Glory to God. Lord, we thank You. We fear not, Lord Jesus, because of You. Like the old song says, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. Life is worth the living just because He lives. Amen. Praise God. Been good to be in God's house with you today. Now again, I want everybody to come over and eat with us. We got plenty of food if you can. If you go out and eat today, I'm going to be mad at you. Pastor's going to have to pray for forgiveness or about unforgiveness. I want you to come eat with us. We'd so enjoy having you if you can. And I want to thank Paula and Jessica again for doing a marvelous job of decorating the fellowship hall over there. It looks so Christmassy. But the mints, man, the mints. You guys went and took it out of the park with those mints. If they had just done the mints, I'd have been happy. But they have done a beautiful job, and we thank you all for it. And I want to thank Mike. Where's Mike? Mike, for filling in for me on Wednesday night. Mike, isn't Mike a great teacher? Yeah. Mike, buddy, you've done been identified, man. You're gifted. You can't hide it, you know. It's out of the bag, man. And you do. You have a gift to teach, Mike. And we praise God, and we're going to use it here. Whether you want to or not, you're going to. Mike, would you come dismiss us in prayer? And Paula, would you prefer we pray right now over here, or would you rather get over there and pray? No, you're going to. No, I want you to. Boy, what a cheap trick that was, huh? Mike dismisses in prayer. We'll get everybody settled over there, and we'll pray over the food over there. God bless you. See you on Wednesday night. We're going to study about the great white judgment throne. It'll be an interesting topic. Come be with us if you can.